It's a really interesting point you raise, and you wonder how it impinges on ethics, but you actually have empirical basis for this. I mean, for example, the Craig Ramey studies. This is a program in underprivileged areas that vary with respect to the education of the household. And the data are quite substantial in showing that the kids who come from the least educated families gain immeasurably, whereas children who come from reasonably well-educated parents gain negligibly, if at all. So, in fact, you actually have an empirical basis for it. But can you juxtapose that to a notion of equalness in delivery of services or educational opportunities? But you do have clearly an empirical basis for targeting.
Going back to your presentation in the morning, you spoke about different brain systems. So you spoke about different systems of the brain, for example, with relation to color processing, as opposed to what was you said,
motion
and so on. So there seems to be a certain kind of localization of the different functions in the brain, and they are fairly specific.
Mm.
So His Holiness is wondering, are there any individual variances among individuals, or can one say that this is fairly universal? Because the reason why he's asking this question is that many years ago, when His Holiness visited South Africa, he visited Soweto Township and spent some time with a family of a typical African there. And in the course of the of discussion, the host, who happened to be a teacher, told His Holiness he believes that the blacks...
Not host, later on,
one of the guests joined. He was a teacher. He mentioned to His Holiness that he believes that the blacks are biologically or genetically inferior, that they have an inferior brain.
And as a response, I expressed to him the now constitution now give all equal
opportunity.
Now the each African native people should make more effort with self-confidence. Then he responded, he feel African, black African, their brain more.
A little bit inferior.
Inferior. Yeah. Then so, I argue, this should not be.
This cannot be.
It's actually not true. There's much more variation between black people and between white people than there is between black and white people.
No, so within each group.
Within each group, there's group variability, lots.
To scientific tone, shall we? Chilo with appearance in Mandrao Yuva Tane, Milim's Tanga Tanema.
So, from a scientific point of view, one cannot really have any kind of
basis of discrimination on appearances.
No, there isn't any evidence for that genetically. There's huge, black people in America are hugely disadvantaged. They are the people who occupy the low SES. So they have an environmental disadvantage, which probably means genetically they're probably superior to the whites, because the degree of disadvantage that they suffer is much greater than the tiny little bit of difference in intelligence that you can see.
He's revisiting the same family in Soweto this time.
Next month.
Get your man back, yeah.
So I will tell what I learned from the
scientist.
Was he black?
Yes, black.
Yeah.
Okay. Genetic variation between races is absolutely insignificant. And as Helen said, there's far, and at the level of genetics as well, there's much greater variation within races than there, by factors of tenfold or more. I mean, there's trivial variation between races.
Then if you're genetically diverse, yeah, you've seen that.
So his illness was saying that he would still like to maintain that the Tibetans are genetically superior.
I can say it.
Also, the younger one, low child. I think greater lung.
Bigger lung.
After all that talk about the environment, and you still think it's your genes.
Because these are.
People find it so easy.
He used to tease his Jewish friends, you know, because the Jewish people are often referred to as the chosen people. So he used to tease them, don't forget, we are also the chosen people.
Who chose? Who chose? Who's the enemy?
All of us.
I didn't choose.
So for the Jews, it was God who chose them. For the Tibetans, it was Avalokiteshvara, the Buddha of compassion.
Yeah.
So there are a number of other issues in the ethics area that I think would be interesting to explore. One of the methods that you have heard about many times, Your Holiness, is methods to image the brain. And we now have methods to image the brain in young children that are safe and non-invasive. As a consequence, we are beginning to learn information about individuals very early in their life that may tell us something about their developmental trajectory, something about their vulnerability to a disorder later in life, for example. And I also know, just a very small amount in the Buddhist tradition about ways in which you can infer differences among people from their demeanor or from other attributes that may relate to how they develop later on in life. And one of the things that we're faced with as scientists is how we responsibly use information that we may acquire about people, for example, early in life, who owns that information, what are we, as responsible scientists, to do with that information, particularly if we have some understanding that based upon that information there is some increased likelihood, not an absolute certainty, but an increased likelihood that the individual may grow up to have a particular disorder, for example, or be compromised in some way. So it would be of great interest to us to hear your perspective on that and how you have, from the Buddhist side, addressed that with the methods that you have available.
It's a very difficult challenge, ethical challenge, as to what, you know, how to responsibly handle the knowledge. But of course, in many, you know, situations that are of ethical challenge, one of the key factors is to really ensure the purity of the motivation. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is the motivation behind what is being done? And if one can ensure that the motivation is that of altruism, something that is of benefit, you know, to do something beneficial, then to a large extent, that can actually have a kind of a determining influence on how the knowledge is handled.
By that individual, if knows this because of that condition, then the individual himself or herself, as well as their friend, can take preventive measures. From early sort of
stage.
So that's a benefit, of course.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if someone with negative motivation use that information and